Justin Cox is here in the studio. He is the editor of the local news site Davis Patch. He's also a blogger for the Huffington Post. Justin Cox graduated from CSU Monterey Bay with degrees in communications and Spanish, and he's been communicating ever since. He worked as a reporter for the Winters Express shortly after graduation until he went on to pursue a master's degree in new media journalism from Northwestern University. Recently married, Justin Cox lives here in Davis with his wife. His hobbies include writing and playing guitar. And speaking of open mics, I've seen him at an open mic or two. Justin Cox, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thanks, Dr. Andy. I'm happy to be here.
Excellent. Do you keep a guitar in your car in case of musical emergencies?
I think every vacation I ever take, there's always a guitar in my car. I always keep it on hand, but...
That's good, because people sometimes need to hear a guitar, or a guitarist himself needs a guitar to kind of settle down and relax. It's what we do in 2012 instead of smoke.
That's what I do.
That's my theory, anyway. Quick program note. Speaking of smoking, Pia Bauer is going to be reading a secondhand smoking public service announcement later in the program, so stick around for that. Justin Cox, tell me about Davis Patch. Did you came up with the idea of a Davis Patch, but patches existed other places, didn't they?
Yeah, patch exists in hundreds of towns, actually. And so I'm the editor of the Davis site, and I'm in... Now I'm working as a reporter, I'm working as an editor, I recruit bloggers, and basically I'm looking around for people who have specialty in certain fields and feel like they'd be a good voice on the site.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'm sort of an umbrella over everything that goes on the site in Davis.
And where did this idea of the patch website or a patch associated with a particular city, where did that get started? Who owns those, if it's not you and I as citizen journalists? And when did you first encounter them? Was Davis Patch the first patch you ever wrote for?
Yes, it is. So Patch is actually owned by AOL and the Huffington Post. It's mm-hmm. sort of our – Huffington Post Media Group is our sort of editorial director. They sort of come over all the sites, but they really put the sort of story ideas and that falls into the individual journalist that's in the town – that being me in Davis. The way I ended up in Davis was after grad school, I was working at a job in San Francisco, and I was going to be getting married in a few months. And I grew up in Winters, about just 10 miles away, and right. kind of wanted to come back to the area in part because San Francisco was looking like a pretty expensive place to start a family and everything like that. So I looked, and actually Patch was going to be starting up in Davis. So they had already had people on the ground and people sort of putting together business listings and things like that. And I saw that they were hiring for an editor, and I felt like I had the sort of journalistic background. I wrote for the Winters Express nearby. I used to live in Davis. I actually met my wife in Davis. And not only that, but I had gone back to school for basically majored in interactive online storytelling at Northwestern, and felt like in every way, felt like a perfect fit, and it's proven to be the case, I think.
Yeah, it's a good match. So for people who haven't visited the Davis Patch, what's it like? How is it different from a typical, say, newspaper website?
It's different in the sense, and this is changing every day, and a lot of times I have to remind myself, especially if you major in journalism, you feel like I need to find a story, I need to report it, and then I need to put it out there, and it's sort of a one-way road at all times. Patch is not that way. There's a lot of different voices coming from different angles on the town, and there's really we encourage a lot of user interaction, and that's not just in the form of commenting under a story, but people who are on the site can add an image to any story or event at any time. People who want to, rather than blast press releases out, can directly post announcements. They're not just going to pile up on the front page of the site, but you can do that. There's a really, really clean calendar that's showing up on the homepage, and new events are showing up on the homepage every single day. It's really, really, there's a lot of tools in the hands of users. A lot of the things that I can do, users can actually do. I'm just sort of, some of it requires moderation from me first, and some of it's just there for people.
Right. Now, what sort of technical computer or HTML skills do practitioners need before they can start posting the sort of things that you've just been talking about?
They need essentially none. I mean, I don't... They really need none. It's a real matter of 3 or 4 clicks for people to upload things to the site. It's really, really, really basic.
Yeah. I'm like a lawyer. I pretty much knew the answer to that question, but I was just asking in such a way so that people at home know that this really is an opportunity to participate in the sort of citizen journalism that we've been talking about on this radio show for more than a decade. And that is that if you have a story, an idea, if you want to contribute to your community, if you have photographs that you think others would benefit from seeing, if you want to see your name in print, then Davis Patch is a great place for you to go and try all that out. Remind me what the website is for the Davis Patch.
So davispatch.com. It's going to kick you over to davis.patch.com, but I don't like that mouthful. So
right.
davispatch.com.
Davispatch.com. All right. Well, when we come back, I'm going to ask Justin Cox about the work that he did at Northwestern University in new media journalism. That sounds really cool. I think if I were to go back and get a fourth degree, that's just the topic I would get it in. So we're going to talk to Justin about that, and also we will hear from Pia Bauer, the producer of this radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Justin Cox is here, and he is a graduate of the master's degree program in New Media Journalism from Northwestern University. Justin Cox, where is Northwestern University?
It's in Evanston, Illinois, just north of Chicago.
That's right. And what made you choose that particular program for your advanced degree in New Media Journalism?
So I majored in communications at CSU Monterey Bay,
mm-hmm.
and sort of wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to do with that. I guess I knew my own strengths, but I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. Then I got a journalism job at the Winter's Express and really, really enjoyed... I knew I really enjoyed reporting and telling stories, but I felt like it was a scary thing to build my future on, a newspaper career, and so I did some research online and saw that Northwestern's program, which was only one calendar year long, was also really geared toward... What they wanted to do was create journalists, in quotes, that will still be relevant in the year 2020. And so the fact that it was 1 year long and that it would be setting me up for that, I put in my notice after about a year at the newspaper and went and started school. And it was really, really, I learned how to code. I learned, picked up all the social media stuff. And that really wasn't my strength prior to that, but it was a good crash course. And now I love it. I'm addicted to it. So
that's great. Evanston is a nice part of the larger Chicagoland area. What are some cultural highlights or memories that you have of your time in that part of the country?
So I really loved Chicago. When I was in Chicago, I could see myself living there forever. But about 3 months before I left, in probably... You can't plan these kinds of things. I met the person who eventually became my wife. So I was in a year-long, long-distance relationship. And that's pretty much why I ended up coming back. And I'm happy I came back, too, and I got to live in San Francisco after. But I lived in Chicago, not Evanston. So I took the train up to Evanston for class the first half of the year. And then most of the second half, I was reporting on the south side of Chicago. Then we had a downtown newsroom in downtown Chicago, so I was pretty much all over. And then I lived on the north side, so I'd say I spent more time scattered around the actual city of Chicago than Evanston itself. It was more like in lecture halls. But it's an amazing place, the city of Evanston and Chicago. I loved it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, my wife lived on the south side for a while, and I know that historically it can be kind of parts of the south side can be kind of dicey. I'm wondering what sort of beats you had or what sort of topics that you took on as a reporter.
Yeah, it was really, I mean, honestly, what we did when we first got in, because the first quarter was really heavy, all just fundamentals of journalism. It's what the school is built on there.
Right.
And they put us they broke the program, which was 60 people, into 4 separate groups. And I was in a cluster that reported in the Chinatown little just a little newsroom space they rented out, and then, I mean, it was a cool time because that's where Obama was about to become elected, and he's from down there,
right.
And so I actually was reporting on crime for a while, and mostly stuff around crime, but it was kind of wide open, and we had certain requirements to fill and stuff, and we weren't, at that point, we weren't publishing live. We were reporting and doing stories, but it wasn't going live. It was sort of just getting ripped up by editors and heavily critiqued.
Right. So. And did you get to cover Obama at all? Did you see him? Did you get a chance to sample that phenomenon?
Yeah, I was at the – I mean, I saw his house and places he'd eaten and everything like that. And then I was at the night that he won the election. I was in the park, so it was pretty incredible. I saw him from really far away.
Absolutely. That's great. Well, certainly that was an event that was well covered in the press. We know, for instance, that Jesse Jackson was there that night, and he was overcome with emotion, as they say, he having important Chicago roots as well.
Exactly.
All right. Justin Cox is my guest. He's the editor of the local news site Davis Patch, as well as a blogger for the Huffington Post. We're talking about his work at Davis Patch and also about citizen journalism. So, if as an editor of a patch, do you automatically become a blogger for the Huffington Post? Do you pitch them things? Tell me more about that process.
Yeah, that's funny. Actually, the Huffington Post thing, I was blogging for Huffington Post before I was ever even doing anything with Patch. So, no, you're not automatically. The way the Huffington Post thing started is, so we just got done talking about Northwestern.
Right.
That's a really incredible choice, and I'm really glad I did that, and it makes it so I have this – I wouldn't have this job. I wouldn't have this skill set. It was really, really important. But I went into huge – I took on a huge pile of debt by doing it.
Right.
And so
– that's kind of the unspoken subtext of this whole conversation about you going off to live in Chicago and Northwestern. And that is how do you afford such a thing, and what does it do to your debt load?
It was a huge – it's a lot of debt. We'll just leave it at that. But
yeah.
Then – but, yeah, so I was back in San Francisco. Yeah, and it's a lot of debt to then major in, essentially, journalism.
Right.
So that's a little bit scary. I was in San Francisco working my job and thought I wasn't playing enough music at the time, and I was sort of frustrated with myself because of that. And then I also had all this debt that I needed. I had these monthly payments. And I came up with this idea that I would play music in BART stations one day after work. I would require myself to do that, and then I would use the money that I made and put it toward my monthly student loan payment.
Mm-hmm.
And I pitched that idea to write a blog for the Huffington Post, and that was to write one blog post about the fact that I was doing it, and then keep my own blog and hope that. But I mean, really, so then I started doing that. They took me on as a blogger, which meant it basically gave me blogger status, so I can write an article about, I can write a blog about anything.
Right.
About Super Bowl halftime show.
Sure.
I may or may not have actually done that.
All right.
But, I did that, and I would play guitar one day after work each day when I would walk back from, and get to my BART station, and I'd make between $2 and $30. And I would just put that in the same jar and then pay my student loans with it. And did that while I lived in San Francisco and blogged about it on occasion for the Huffington Post.
Excellent. Now, it's my understanding with regard to financial matters that the Huffington Post doesn't pay the vast majority of its bloggers. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think by a vast majority, I don't think they pay any of them.
Oh, yeah.
So, so they don't pay any of them. It's more – and they also don't ever tell you to write anything or do very, very much editing. They really let you. So it's more, I think a lot of the purpose it serves is like the story I just told.
Right.
I'm shouting the fact that I'm doing that into nothingness, basically, but it serves as a venue if I want to have it, you know? And I thought it was a good one. It was a really fun thing to do in San Francisco. It was a thing I'll remember forever. And I think the opportunity to blog on Huffington Post helped.
Absolutely. Do you know the Huffington Post blogger and UC Davis professor Bob Ostertag, and former current San Franciscan as well?
I know of, and I know that he exists, but I've never met him.
Yeah. He's a great guy, often in Davis. Worth meeting if you ever see that he's performing or reading or, you know, whatever it is he has coming up. Because he's an important guy. And he's also been a thought leader in progressive responses to the events surrounding November 18th, as we say here in the city of Davis.
Yeah.
Now, we just have a few minutes left in the program. That must have been an interesting challenge for you to try to figure out how best to cover the pepper spraying of students here at UC Davis. What were the challenges, victories, issues with that with regard to your work at the Davis Patch?
I mean, that was unbelievable. That was the whole – so I had set up a live feed on the site because so many of the – when the occupiers would get to these certain places, they would set up a live feed so that the world could watch in. Sort of the beauty of Patch is I can embed that live feed and people can get it if they come to our homepage. So I did that and then raced down and sort of got there as it was all unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it was crazy, and I knew it was – and now it's a Friday afternoon, and I have freelancers that I eventually call that they get paid, that I could assign stories, and they came in and helped me cover the aftermath. But you can't really know – I knew it was going to be big. I knew it was going to be – I was going to be busy that whole entire weekend.
Right.
It wasn't going to be a slow one. But I didn't – it was weird around 5 o'clock when I look at, like, something on Reddit, and it's like, wait, that's Davis. And then by 8 o'clock, it's being, like – there's basically memes floating around, and it's like, this is unbelievable. This isn't even like, this is worldwide. And
yeah.
So after that, what it becomes is I can't pretend like I have a full newsroom to dispatch out. I don't have that, but I think I got some unique voices to come participate on the site. And then the key is to just not try and get in a mode of like, I'm going to go write four sort of newspaper style articles today. I'm gonna really think differently and harness the fact that I have a website with a lot of cool tools, and I did that. It was a little interesting to sort of settle into that on a Saturday and a Sunday with like my wife ready to go to like a concert in Sacramento and stuff like that.
Right. Speaking of unique approaches, let's close by having you tell us about story that either you wrote or one of your reporters wrote for the Davis Patch that you thought was intriguing or that uncovered something that people really didn't know too much about. What's an example of interesting journalism over at the Davis Patch?
So, I mean, I can – something that I've learned along the way is you have – when a story happens, a lot of times what traditional media would do is go out and gauge the public opinion – and sort of do a man-on-the-street type interview.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm finding, and I'll give an example in a second, is that so many people are telling their stories and sort of putting that opinion out voluntarily online instead. And I think you can do essentially what a man-on-the-street interview would do. There's tons of online reporting that could happen. And so an example this week, I mean, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, is there's a story about a 100 mile per hour car chase that the story was told on the UC Davis subreddit. So the local, so reddit.com's little local subreddit.
Right.
And the story wasn't in the newspaper. It wasn't on Patch. It wasn't on, we wouldn't see that story otherwise, but somebody wrote the story and then 16 people commented on it, including multiple neighbors who heard it. That story doesn't otherwise exist. And then, so telling that story, I mean, to me, no one aside from the couple hundred people who are savvy enough to know about the UC Davis subreddit aren't going to otherwise know. And so that's not a huge, like, dive-in epic act of journalism, but it's that sort of thing is replicated constantly. And I think a lot of people are telling their stories and putting their opinion out online, and there's value in compiling them.
Excellent. Do you have any shout-outs to potential citizen journalists out there with regard to your work as editor of the Davis Patch?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I had a conversation with the two nice gentlemen who were here sitting before me, they said, hey, can you write an article about what we're doing on the site? And I said, yeah, I can, but I can also set you up as a blogger, and you can tell your own story, and you can easily embed a YouTube video of something you guys have done in the past or a preview of what you're about to do, and it's really, really easy. So if people are looking for a venue, I mean, it's really along the lines of what I just said I did for the Huffington Post, but local. And in that same sense, you don't get paid, but I never tell you what to write, and the only thing I'll edit out is something to make sure you don't get sued or something.
Right.
So it's a really, really good place to tell your story. That's basically blogging. My email address is justin.cox@patch.com, and if you just go to davispatch.com, you can see my phone number there. You can call me if you want to.
Excellent. Well, Justin Cox has been my guest, and as you've learned, he is the editor of Davis Patch, which you can find at davispatch.com. He earned degrees from Monterey Bay and Northwestern University, and now, recently married, lives in Davis with his wife, where he spends a lot of time writing, of course, and playing the guitar. Justin Cox, thanks so much for coming on the radio show today.
Yeah, and I'm actually going tonight to, I think where we met for the first time was an open mic at Barista Brew Cafe at 8 o'clock. It's really, really fun. So
excellent. Sure. Right over on G Street between 4th and 5th. I really like that Barista Brew Cafe. And I make sure to, for myself, just speaking for myself now, I always make sure to get a smoothie or something, because any kind of cafe that's going to open up its space to music and poetry and performance, I think is a place that deserves our community support.
I agree. And these guys who put on the open mic, I sort of befriended them at the last one, and now they're posting their events to Davis Patch, participating on the site. It's another example of people really getting the...